Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World episode 157. I'm your host, John Jordan. Don't forget to check out my daily email about blockchain gaming. You can find that at gamestx.substack.com. In this episode, I'm talking to Oliver Loeffler, who is the CEO at Voya Games, based in Berlin. I had Ollie on the show before, over a year ago, and it's been good to catch up to see what he's been up to. So Ollie's been making games for over a decade now. He co-founded a very successful mobile studio that was sold to Ubisoft before setting up Voya Games. And the expertise that he has is around what we call idle games, so games that are sort of happening and you sort of come in every so often to see what's been happening in the game and then make decisions around sort of the resources you've been collecting. That's typically how they work. So at Voya Games, he's been working for the last couple of years on a IP, which is Angry Dynamite's Lab. So that's the IP, and now they have a sort of version of the game up called Craft World, which you can go and play. It's running on on the Polygon testnet at the moment. And what's interesting, I think, with Ollie's experience in idle games is how he's combining that with building in Web3. So one of the points of Craft World is you create lots of resources, and that in itself is not terribly interesting. It's sort of interesting to unlock the different resources, but then the point of sort of the game, that sort of the meta of playing it, is you have to make these big, what they call masterpieces, and they require an enormous amount of resources, much more than any one player can provide. So players have to sort of work together in a collaborative sense to create these masterpieces. And as we talk about, that is really interesting in the sense of the collaborative aspect of people building, and also in the way in which you could imagine people using that process to have like creating NFTs, and people then creating these masterpieces and then minting these NFTs out in a much sort of more holistic way, I suppose, than people just being on a whitelist and paying gas fees to mint, which is sort of a lot of what happens at the moment. So a really interesting conversation in terms of where blockchain gaming can go in a slightly different sort of format, I guess, not a traditional game for many people, I suppose, but really interesting in terms of what we can do with blockchain that we couldn't do if we weren't using blockchain, which is, I think, is always fascinating. So I hope you enjoy the show, and don't forget to subscribe, and I'll see you next time. Hello, everybody, and very pleased we have Ollie from Voya Games on the show today. How's it going, Ollie?
Going well. How about you?
Yes, good. So it's been, I think, not quite a year, but getting on for a year since we had you on sort of last time talking there. Then we were talking about the sort of a bit about your background and doing sort of idle mobile games and that sort of experience. So we won't really go into that. I'll put it in the show notes. People can go and find out that other podcast. So really, we'll be talking about what's been happening in the last year and really focusing on what you've been doing with Angry Dynamite Labs, which has been playing it a lot. It's one of these great games, idle games. It sits on your browser and you can stops you working. One of those productivity sinks. So that's good from that point of view. But how was 2023 for you? I mean, obviously for the industry, sort of various levels of toughness, really. But how did you find it?
Yeah, it was a very interesting year, I would say. Also, pretty different than the year before when we started in 22. But yeah, I think in 22, like, kind of the market was already kind of going down. It was like first the Luna crash, then the FTX crash, and so on and so forth. But there still were a lot of people around kind of interested and to see like what's going on there, what new projects are coming out, and so on and so forth. And that's where we managed to sell our NFTs and kind of build up the community. And then in 23, like, everything was kind of going down even more. People were going out of the space. People were rather holding onto the things they already have on the NFTs and so on, and they weren't really willing to further explore new projects or something like this. And we are still at like kind of in the beginning, right? We had a good community, and we are very happy that we still have, and they are still very active. But it was like, of course, like not like this massive communities that like other blue chip NFT projects also had. We tried to keep the people that we have engaged, and they were appreciating it a lot. And at the same time, of course, we were starting to do some experiments with some game mechanics here and there, what you've also tested out previously, and kind of went into build mode. So we also got a little bit less active in the community building side of things because it was getting harder and harder. And then we rather like kind of went into building mode. We established a team. We are 9 people now at Voya Games. We did like the rebranding of the Angry Dynamites up to Voya Games as a company. So the project is still called Angry Dynamites Lab, but in November last year, we basically felt like, hey, we want to also establish like a company brand because a lot of things changed end of last year. So after doing some experiments with blockchain tech and wallet and all of these things, we identified ways on how we can now really bring this into games, and that's how we basically from November on basically built more or less like a whole new game out of the experimental things we did before, and soft launched it in December. So it's like kind of a whole new era for us now, starting 24, by having like this new game. We call it now Craft World, the game itself. We're having mobile iOS and Android clients. We have still the web client available, and now I think we are set up for a very good 2024 year after like a more like calm and heads down phase in 23.
Yeah, I think it's at the time it wasn't pleasant. And obviously, you know, say some people sort of, you know, went out of business and stuff. But I guess it's one of those things. Looking back now, 2023 will actually be sort of seen for many projects as sort of quite a pivotal year when maybe they decided if they're going to stay in the space or not, and decided they were. And then because you couldn't, as you say, you couldn't really do community building because like no one cared about anything. You couldn't launch NFTs because no one cared about them. So you had to sort of, right, well, let's just get on and sort of build what we want to do. And in crypto, you know, it's really hard to build, I think, when there's a lot of noise and everyone's shouting and what's this
Yeah,
going on?
exactly.
Because just your head is just like, oh, what's this? What's this? What's this? Whereas have a year to just to focus on your thing, I think, quite valuable.
Yeah, I agree. Basically, it's like now it's really showing like who is really willing to build something and has like also the guts and resilience to do so, like even to continue when not everything is looking so promising, and so on and so forth. Like who also really believes like in the technology and what it can offer and has great benefits. And now like all the people who are not like kind of doing this or didn't want to actually build a product, they are kind of washed out now. And so I'm feeling now we have like we know like who are the people who are the builders who really want to showcase like what this great technology can bring for consumer brand, for consumer products or games or anything else. And I see it now like there's really like a lot of great people still working on things, and they made really good progress. Like we are also using some tools or some tech from ThirdWeb, for example, for all the wallet technologies and so on and so forth. This improved by a lot. Now you can easily log in with your social accounts and so on. So there's a lot of things happening, and you better know like now who are the real guys still left.
Did at any point did you sort of any point did you sort of think, oh, you know, good experiment, we've had a go, market's not there, we'll go and do something else? Because obviously you've made tons of games, you could go off and do, I'm sure, something else if you wanted to. I'm sure you've got lots of ideas.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, I also know a few people who did that, like basically starting out with blockchain and now like kind of pivoting into something else. Some go to AI, some are doing more regular games. But for me, it was always the case that I really like thought about like that what the technology can really bring, not so much about like how the market and how the hypes and so on and so forth, like what it enables and what it has like for opportunities to build on this new platform. And this didn't change for me. Like it just got stronger over time because all the tech was continuing and getting better. And so for us, it was always like kind of, okay, yeah, we can build something great, although the market is maybe not there yet. But yeah, we were seeing it more from a really like technology perspective and what opportunities it brings to utilize the technology. And yeah, therefore it was never the case that we kind of venture into or pivot into something else, but really like kind of believe in our vision and ideas around Web3.
Cool. Okay, so that's the sort of the abstract stuff out of the way, the company stuff. Let's focus on Angry Dynamite Lab. So how would you describe that as a sort of I guess that's now like the brand, and then you have maybe at least one game in there, but how would you describe Angry Dynamite Lab as a sort of content?
Yeah, so I think Angry Dynamite Lab, we see this more as like the IP itself. So we launched the NFTs, we built out the community around it, we built a bit of lore around it. So that's kind of the IP. And now in December 23, we actually would launch like the first real game, I would say, that we built, which is Craft World on the Angry Dynamite Lab IP that will utilize the NFTs that we launched back then. So just as a recap, when you own one of our NFTs, they're basically producing resources in intervals, and you can use these resources then in a game to actually craft other resources out of them and build objects and buildings. And that's what we then actually soft launched in December. Now we are kind of exploring how to continue developing it so that in summer this year we can do a global launch. And the game itself, I explained it a bit, is like all around like collecting raw resources, crafting new resources out of them, and then basically specialize also in resources. Like, for example, one player can specialize in resource A, another player specializes in resource B, and then build out objects which require many, many resources so that all players kind of need to work together. And the thing is, where blockchain now really comes in, is like that all of the resources are tradable on the blockchain. They are all like kind of tokens, and you can trade them through Uniswap pools in the game itself. Okay. So therefore, like, these resources are having prices based on supply and demand, and these things change and become volatile. And that's also where we saw a lot of people like really getting fun into finding out what resources are on a cheap price and what they can produce out of these resources and sell them, these newly produced resources, for profit, and therefore kind of grinding their way up through more or less trading. And one of our bigger goals and ideas is like to integrate more of like real world economy principles into the game, because now Web3 actually makes it possible to create this digital economy for games. And that's what we find super interesting and want to make this more and more available as a platform for other games as well in the future.
Mm-hmm. That was definitely, for me, as a sort of someone who was sort of playing the games at not a very deep level, just sort of like, yeah, they're idle games, so you sort of tap on stuff, you go, this button lights up green, you go, oh, tap on that one. And so having played the first version and the current sort of soft launch, obviously graphically they're a bit different, and how the actions are sort of showed in a user experience are sort of very different. But now you have this sort of gold token, which is, I don't think you really had in the first version, and that sort of really now unlocks a lot of ways in which you sort of can play your own game in many ways, because it's sort of interesting. You start off, I think, as is my experience at least, that you sort of start off in a nice way, and you sort of, it's a very clean sort of structure. You start off with so I'll try and explain it a little bit. You start off with a dinosaur digging up earth, and then you take that earth and you make it into a sort of a mud or a different sort of earth, and then a different, and then a mud, and then it goes up into sand, and then you end up making sort of higher level sort of elements on that, and then you get water, you unlock water, and then you sort of got water thing, and then you've got a fire one, and then it starts to get really complicated. You're just like, whoa, and you can never have them all. You think at the beginning, oh, I have everything working, you know, in sequence, and everything's producing at the same time, but you basically run out of material, so you sort of, as you say, you have to sort of end up specializing or doing, you know, sort of working out your own way to play the game, because you can't play the game in the way you initially think you can when you start off, which is sort of quite a, your head gets a bit scrambled by that. That's what I found.
Yeah, but that's exactly what we want to achieve. We want to create like this multiplayer experience of you have dependencies for other players at the same time as they have dependencies on you, so that everyone kind of works together for a greater good in order to produce these masterpieces, as we call them, all together. And that's how we see like it in the real world as well, right? You have also a lot of companies creating goods and resources and specialize in them, but they have dependencies on all the other resources that they might need for producing this good, and then they're selling it to someone else for a profit. So we're seeing all of these parallelities from the real world that we want to integrate more and more into the game and kind of make it fun.
And it does, from your point of view, just, I didn't realize the all the resources are on Uniswap. I guess you're on a testnet at the moment, aren't you? Yeah, I think you're on a testnet, aren't you?
Yeah, we are still on a testnet, and we kind of made it easy to utilize. So we built an in-game interface where you can just trade these resources for Uniswap pools, and we made it even possible that you don't necessarily need a wallet. You can do it with your wallet as well, but we will also kind of do something like delegated trading, as we call it, where we kind of execute trades for you and also pay the fees for it. So just to make it easier to get into this, we might want to monetize it later a little bit as well, but you will always have the opportunities to just do it on your own. So it's just like a convenient feature to make it easier for players who are not that familiar maybe with these things.
It's sort of something that I sort of see quite a lot in the space, and then I saw your views on it. And I don't think you're not a fully on-chain game, but I can sort of imagine there are some sort of fully on-chain elements that almost people could create their own interfaces. And obviously you have this nice IP around the angry dynamite dragons and the dinosaurs sort of doing funny stuff, and that's a nice art style. But presumably at some point, could people just create their own sort of command line sort of set up and do it that way?
Yeah, so that's also one of the things we want to get more into, and we are already planning some partnerships here. Like what we can imagine, like we've launched a bunch of tokens, right? We have the NFTs producing this raw fire and water and earth resources, but we can utilize other resources which are out there already from other NFT projects. So we are in close talks for a partnership with the Cyberconks, which is also a very OG community, and to integrate their banana token as another raw resource into our game. And we basically see a lot of win-win possibilities or like opportunities here for both sides. So we can give the banana token utility by kind of integrating it with other factories to produce something else out of it, combining it with our tokens and so on, and giving them a lot of utility. On the other hand, they have a very engaged, very good community that we can co-market with and then basically attract more players to our game experience. And we even want to take this in the future even steps forward in order to also attract like other brands and creators to join our more or less platform, I would say, game platform, economy platform, to create game objects as NFTs. So, for example, imagine like SpaceX comes around, Elon Musk is now finally back on the crypto train or something like this, and they want to launch an NFT collection. And instead of just setting up a website or put it on OpenSea and get like an ETH for each rocket they sell, they could put a rocket into our game, branded like SpaceX, and then basically define what input resources you need in order to build the rocket. So it can consist of 1,000 steel, 10,000 hydrogen, and so on and so forth. And this is a way more gamified minting experience than it was before. So there will be probably way more engagement. There will be probably way more users looking into this because we already have like a player base. And at the same time, they might also have some users and that are just like kind of from the brand visibility coming and then would join also our game. And then we have like, again, like this win-win situations where both sides kind of benefit in launching these things. And so we can even combine the tokens and NFTs from other NFT projects with brands and creators that want to launch new NFT projects and bring them all together in this gamified experience. And that's something we want to try out now, and we're already in the first talks, but later open it up more as a platform so that everyone can plug in here and kind of create these things on their own and see like, okay, let's build a banana rocket out of bananas or something like this. Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. We'll just explain to people that at the moment, so you sort of have your game where you're sort of collecting these resources and leveling up and unlocking new sort of factories. Effectively, they're sort of resource factories. But then there's this thing if you mentioned called a masterpiece. At the moment, that masterpiece is a sort of a rocket that's being built, and basically, you need tons of resources. So it's like many times more resources than any one person could ever accumulate. But you can spend some of your resources to sort of fill up that. And I'm just checking out at the moment, the rocket is 87% complete for the current one we're doing, and there's only two of those resources that need to be sort of filling up. And then there's a leaderboard for where you place in terms of what you're giving. And I guess at the moment that sort of acts as a sink for the game as well, because otherwise you just end up with resource inflation. But yeah, it's super cool if you're actually then using that to mint out an NFT, because then you feel like your hard work's sort of doing something. And I guess even if people, because all those when you're live on the mainnet, all those assets will be blockchain assets. So if someone wants to come in and just buy their way in, they can do that as well.
Yeah,
So there's
exactly.
sort of both sort of ways of doing it. That's yeah, very, very, I like that a lot. Brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. So they can still like you can still decide like how much effort you want to put into yourself. Maybe you want to just put a little effort in and buy most of the resources. Maybe you want to put in almost no effort. You just want to have this NFT and then you're buying it from more or less other players. Or you go the full route and just grinding your way up step by step and building it up on your own or with the help of other players.
Yeah, cool. Good. I mean, that's very Web3, isn't it? So in terms of the moment, it's just on a you can play. I play it on a browser, but obviously the design is sort of designed in a portrait mode, so you can sort of flick between these different. At the moment, I've got how many? Let's have a look. The sort of there's maximum of fuck, I can't even do it now. Maximum of sort of five sort of areas, and you can I imagine on the phone you'd better flip between them. And obviously your experience is making mobile idle games. That's a massive sort of genre for mobile. How sort of have you been thinking about app stores, particularly to app store restrictions? Because clearly this is a you can play it fine on a browser, but I can imagine mobile is sort of more native perhaps. But doing these sort of games where there's lots of blockchain assets in there, obviously Apple and Google want to see in-app purchases. Have you even started thinking about that yet, or is that sort of a bit too far down the line?
Yeah, so our goal is like to go fully cross chain, right? Not cross chain, cross platform. Sorry, cross chain is also interesting, but in this case, let's talk about cross platform. So our goal is like to have landscape, so you can use it in landscape to see like all your factories and your kind of empire of like these factories, like you would also know from Factorio, for example, which is like one of our big role models, so to say, we want to build on top of. And but you can also play it in portrait mode in order to like kind of just look at a specific production line and so on. So yeah, we are on web because on web we have all the freedom to do and it's still very accessible. But we are also in the long run may want to create a PC version, so maybe like for the players who are more deeper into it, basically, yeah, can then launch it just from the desktop, and maybe it's a more immersive experience and so on. But also like on mobile, I think yeah, there you can play it also while you are around in the subway or anything like this. And yeah, for mobile, there's the most restrictions, so I think PC and web, it's like you can distribute how you want that, and you can do whatever you want from the distribution side. On mobile, there of course like the main distribution channels are the App Store and the Play Store, at least in the European or Western markets. And yeah, so we need to comply with these regulations. And so far, it's there are some regulations out there, which is good. I think also Apple and Google are slowly opening up these things, so to really make it possible with some restrictions. But of course, like we need to be very careful in how we integrate the Web3 mechanics to really comply there. And so far, we didn't see any issues with it. But of course, it can become more risky over time. But we have a lot of ways on how we can maybe do more of the crazy Web3 things than more on the web or PC, and make it a little bit more, or not integrate all of the Web3 mechanics in the mobile versions. But yeah, I think there's also some solutions to make it possible. I think the most important thing is that kind of Apple and Google get their 30% cuts somehow on the sale. And so we are also exploring ways in how we can even use in-app purchases to kind of mint out the NFTs and so on and so forth, which would then comply to the regulations of the stores.
Now, it does seem to be interesting that the sort of, as you say, sort of a slower process than I guess many people would like, but they're definitely over the last sort of 6 to 8 months, there's when there was sort of no one really knew, there's sort of this gray area and it wasn't very clear at all. Whereas now there definitely seems to be, if you look at the sort of the products coming out, increasingly blockchain sort of features are in there. Obviously, you can't do say exactly what you want. That's what you do on PC, but it is sort of maybe surprising from where we were last year how open these app stores are sort of becoming to even some sort of fully on-chain games doing some sort of token stuff in there that I've been surprised about. So.
Yeah, I think it's a very good sign, and important for the industry.
And in terms of sort of the rest of the year, you sort of spoken a bit about you're hoping to sort of be releasing in sort of craft work in the summer. So that's the main sort of thing you're doing at the moment, sort of building that up and
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we are preparing the last pieces and bits for the launch in summer. And we also, yeah, basically for the launch already want to integrate third-party tokens. So that's why we are talking, for example, with the CyberKongs and maybe later also with some other communities. Would love to get the Pixels community and the upcoming token also in there. I think that would be a very good fit as well, and a bunch more. Because then we can basically utilize these integrations to get our first crucial user base in the game. At the same time, of course, bringing some values to the other communities. And I think that's also a very unique way for integrating tokens. Like most other games in Web3 that do integrations, they're more focusing on the NFTs itself, and it's more like a they're more reading the NFTs and displaying them in the game, but we are really like kind of integrating these tokens with a burning mechanism as well. So these tokens will get burned. We will decrease the supply, which of course also a lot of these communities would appreciate. And because if the supply gets lower, then demand rises. We all know what happens. That's basically what a lot of them, of course, are aiming for. And yeah, so that's what we are doing right now, closing a lot of these partnerships, integrating it from a technical side, and yeah, then basically having hopefully a good launch in summer this year.
Was this sort of a ability to integrate tokens something you thought about from the beginning, or is that sort of something that's sort of clearly become a key thing as you've sort of gone on?
Yeah, so for me, it was always important to really utilize the blockchain technology in order to build something which wasn't there yet, to really innovate on the game mechanic side. And that was like an idea which I had really early on already, because I see so many opportunities lying there. And I think it's like something where the technology itself really helps, because in order to make something possible in Web2, you would need to put in a lot of negotiations with the other partners, with the communities, with the technical side. So now everything is like kind of lying there on the blockchain. And you can just pick it up. You don't even need a permission. We could just integrate any token we want, right? That's the beauty of this permissionless platform. And yeah, so I had this was one of the main ideas from the get-go already, including like these community building co-op experience, multiplayer experience in a world where you have like then this replication of the real world economy as a digital economy by integrating this trading and DeFi mechanisms that are already very matured in blockchain and Web3, and use this composability layer to integrate into to our game. So that these were basically the starting points of the whole idea.
And it's really cool because often we still get this sort of question, you know, blockchain's all about interoperability and it's clearly there's sort of no interoperability because it is really hard to do it on a NFT object basis. But, you know, as you sort of pointed out, when we talk about interoperability of objects, we're missing probably the most important thing, which is the tokens, which are abstract and you can do anything with them. But they are a very clearly an important thing of every blockchain game economy. It's all about the
exactly.
tokens.
Yeah. So for me, it's still like I still don't get why more games are trying this with the fungible tokens, because it's way easier. It's like with all the NFTs, people expect that the character looks pretty much the same, that it has like the abilities and so on and so forth. So it's way more effort. And for a token, it's more like, what does the token actually represent, more like from a value perspective as well as like from a legacy perspective? Where was it generated? How do you get it? How much is the supply? How much is the burn and increase of supply? So it's more like this abstract thing that you can use then to give it a face in your game. And that's something which I find super interesting, and probably a bit easier than actually, or at least it would offer more opportunities in the game than just like these NFT characters itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Excellent. Good. Well, we will leave it there because we definitely want to come back do another one this year when the game's out there and see how that's all sort of shaping up. For people who wanna try it out, where should they be going? What should they be doing?
Yeah, so they can basically check out our website, angrydynamiteslab.com. We also have the web version live already, so you can test it out. You will find some links there and also in our Discords and Twitter. So make sure to join our community, get to know a little bit more about like the digital economy that we are building, and that you also get help to get onboarded and what to specialize on. So yeah, just join our community.
Cool. Excellent stuff. Thank you very much, Ollie, for that. Really, really exciting. And we look forward to what you're up to.
Yeah, thanks as well. It's always a pleasure to speak with you on this podcast here. Yeah. And I appreciate a lot like all the great videos and episodes you're making. It's really good content.
Yeah, and if people want to check out Blockchain Gaming World, I have done quite a lot of videos about the game that's currently live. So you'll sort of go through my learning of not having a clue what's going on, and then just sort of getting somewhere. So that's fun. But yeah, thanks to you for watching, listening to the podcast, however you are consuming it. Every week we are talking to the people who are building out this whole new way of playing games and interacting and making communities, and absolutely fascinating. So really good one today, Ollie. Thanks for that. Don't forget to subscribe because every week now we are talking to people who are doing this in various ways, making games, making infrastructure. Lots of podcast guests already signed up for the next sort of month or so. So we're really filling up. So don't miss out. Subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Bye bye.
Yeah. See you. Bye bye.
Oh, wrong button. Hold on. That happened to my buttons. Let's just stop now. I can't get this.